going to ask you, if you would, please, to remain standing for this morning's reading. It's Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians. We're going to read just four verses, 16 to 19, from the fifth chapter. So I'm going to ask you to receive these words. Paul writes, "So, from now on, we regard no one, with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation." If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creation. Oh, the old is gone and the new has come. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us. God has committed to you and to me the message of reconciliation. The word of God for the people of God. Now we're going, listen, this service started at 10, but it gets out like around 12, right? Oh, yeah. So y'all don't need to stand up for the next, what, hour and a half. Y'all can sit down. Have a seat. Pray with me. We need a lot of it. Holy Spirit, this is your moment. Let the words be yours. Surely do not let them be mine. Let the ears and the hearts be yours. Surely do not let them be ours. Minister to us. Remind us. Provoke us. Love us. And prepare us to receive the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior this morning. Because we ask this in his holy name. Amen. Diapers, tires, and life. Do you ever wonder why the phrase is... How many of you ever changed a diaper? Praise God. How many of you ever fixed a flat tire? Praise God. Why do we say... You're holding the baby, right? And you say, "Whoo! I need to go change this diaper." Yes? Or the tire goes flat. Oh! I got to go change the tire, right? That is still driving me crazy. Driving you crazy? We don't say, "Ooh, I'm going to go transition this diaper." See, there's a difference. There's a difference why we don't do that, see? And when the tire's flat and it's about to rain and you're on a scary road and you're all by yourself, you don't say, "Oh, I think I'll get out and transition this tire." No, you get out of the car and say, "Darn, I'm going to change this tire and get it done right now." That's what we do. Huge difference between change and transition. So this morning, we're going to go. There's some questions that you might have in your mind. And when you leave here today, let me make sure I got this right. If we get out at 12:05, we got out late, right? Okay, good. Okay, this is great having a two-hour service. Man, this is great. This is great. There's two messages in it. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. When we leave here today, you may be thinking, "Oh, man, why is he here? Why did they send him here?" But we'll see how this goes. So we're going to talk about change. We're going to talk about transitions. And we're going to talk about reconciliation. And so we're going to define change, transition, see how they work with each other and how they don't work with each other. Then we're going to jump into the text, talk about reconciliation, and line by line through the text. And then if it works, we're going to put the whole mess back together again in one piece and come receive Holy Communion. Here we go. Change. You know what change is. Change causes something to be different. So if something changed, what is it not? What it used to be, right? Or change can be what is different, right? It's mostly a physical dimension. It happens out here somewhere. Happens out here somewhere. Away from us, sort of. It happens. And it's usually quick. It's usually fast. Someone on the trustees is in the service this morning, and they kind of get bored during the message, and they're kind of looking around, and they're thinking, you know, we should paint the inside of this church bright red, because I heard that bright red is the pastor's favorite color. And so he goes to the next trustee meeting, he says, I think we should paint the inside of the sanctuary bright red. They say, why? Because it's his favorite color. And they say, well, oh, why not? So they paint it bright red all through the week, and you come back in here next Sunday, and the whole inside of the sanctuary is bright red. What are you going to say? Now be nice. What are you going to say? You're going to say, oh, look, they changed the color of the inside of the sanctuary. Yes? Sure. Because it had a catalyst. Someone thought about it. Someone had a thought. Someone had a provocation, and it thought about it, and then they took it to the appropriate group or whatever. Action was taken, and then when the action was taken, the change was over. It's out here. It's more of a physical thing. It's out here usually. Now, we're talking in general terms. You know, there's always an exception to the rule. General terms, it's out here, and it's usually pretty quick. And once it's done. And you either like it or you don't like it. And you either let it impact your life negatively, or you let it impact your life in a positive way, or you just move on with your life and forget about the change. So that's change. Transitions are not changes. We're in a transition. You and me. We're transitioning. Transition is a passage or a movement from one stage, form, or state into another stage, form, or state. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're transitioning. You changed pastors. So 2 weeks ago, Mark Whitaker had his last Sunday. Last Sunday, someone filled in. This Sunday. 2 Sundays ago, I was in Estero, had my last Sunday. Last Sunday, someone filled in for me, and this Sunday, Tim Carson is in Estero. They changed pastors. You changed pastors. We changed churches, and we changed homes. Y'all didn't do that, but we did. So those changes took place. But now it's over. The change aspect is over. Now we're in a transition. Now we're moving. Now it's a passage from one state to another state. And it can last a long, 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 long time. Long time. Talking about diapers. When you had your children, you moved into another state of transitioning through your life. Because as long as you have those children, they'll always have an impact on your life. Our oldest son is 30. His birthday's coming up sometime soon, like in a couple weeks or something. And so, you know, he's going to turn 30. And the impact on my life is, oh my gosh, if he's 30, Sherry must be really old. Yeah. But it's a transition. It never stops. It just moves. It's a passage. It's a movement. And that's what we're in. That's what we're in. The transition started when Mark decided to retire. Then he announced it. And some of you found out about his retirement, and that meant you're going to get a new person here. And that's when a transition started. When will the transition stop? Never. More than likely, just never. Because you'll always remember Mark. You'll always remember him. And so when he came 12 years ago, your transition started. It'll never end. And so we're in the midst of a brand new transition. They're different. Transition begins with a change. All transitions begin with a change. This transition we're in began with a change of clergy. And it started a transition. And that's good. But transitions are never change. Transitions are never change. Because change comes quickly, it happens, and it stops. And you deal with what you've got. Transitions start with a change, but they go on. And many times they never stop. They never stop. They never stop. Our lives are always in transition. They're always moving. They're always changing. It's always different. And in life, we experience both. Things change for you probably often, probably more often than you realize. Transitions may not happen as often, but they happen. But they do come and they do go. Now, the good news is, as Christians, We don't face change and we don't deal with change or transitions alone. We never do it alone. We always have the power and the presence of Christ living within us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what the change is, you know that when you receive that change, you receive it with the power of God in your heart. When you move through a transition, you're moving through it. You're not alone. You're moving through it with God. Footprints in the sand, that thing. Remember that little poem? Okay, that's it. That's the transition. When he looked down and only saw two footprints, that was God carrying him through a transition of his life. And so when we move through this transition together, we're not doing it alone. It's just not me and you. It's you, me, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of you and in which he and in me as well. So we're not doing it alone. We're not doing it alone. The key to transitioning as Christian people is that we are successful. The key is that we are successful. It's imperative that we transition in any capacity of our lives as Christian people successfully. Because that successive revelation of the transitioning reveals to a hungry, hungry world the power and the presence of God in your life. The power and the presence of God in your life. So if something happens to you that's less than wonderful, and it begins a new transition period in your life, and you begin to deal with it in a Christian perspective, and non-Christian friends or even Christian friends see you and they say, I just don't know how you can deal with this so upbeat. I don't know how you can be so positive. I don't know how you can be so optimistic. I don't know how you can be so faithful in all the things that's happening to you. Because you're in the midst of a transition and you're filled with the Spirit of God and you're honoring God by the way you allow the transition to move through your life. It's imperative that transitions are successful because they reveal the power and the presence of God in each of our lives. In each of our lives. And don't you know that as a Christian, when people who either are not Christian or are not strong Christians, they watch to see how you respond. They watch you because they want to see what you're going to do. And you have two options. Show them a worldly perspective or show them a godly perspective. Two options. And that takes us to the text then. We're going to move through the first, we're going to move through these four verses and we're going to do it kind of quickly. So here we go. You ready? Before we go, I've got to tell you one more, remind you of something. Who wrote this? Second Corinthians thing. Who wrote this? Paul. And Paul's name used to be Saul. And Saul is on his way to Damascus one sunny Sunday afternoon, going to Damascus, and a lightning and a voice knocks him off his donkey, and he's blinded, and they take him into Damascus. And poor Ananias is called by God to come see Saul, and he's terrified, and he comes and sees Saul. He prays over Saul, the things fall off his eyes, and Saul says, what? Eureka! I can see! And in that moment, a transition begins in his life that Saul soon becomes Paul, and his whole life is changed. He doesn't see Christianity the same way ever again. His regards towards Christ are completely different than they were before he got knocked off his donkey. Everything has changed. His life is in a total transition. And this is what he says. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So from now on, because he can say so from now on, because now on is the beginning of the transition. He's in this transition mode where he sees Jesus and Christians totally different. And he's saying, so from now on, because this transition has begun in my life, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Listen, we stop seeing people with human eyes. We stop looking at people with earthly, worldly eyes. We stop that. From now on, we see people with godly eyes. We see people with godly eyes. Though you know what? This is really ugly. But we used to look at Jesus with those worldly eyes too. And we judged him. We criticized him. We would have killed him ourselves if we could have gotten our hands on him when I was Saul instead of Paul. We were critical, biased, impatient, prejudiced. We hated a man. We didn't even know the man. He lived and died before his time. But he didn't even know him. But he hated what he did. And he hated the people that he influenced so heavily. He said, we used to think that way about Jesus, but we don't anymore. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he was in the midst of this transition. It wasn't just a change from being a Christian hater to a Christian. It was a transition. It's a transition. It's a movement. It's a passage. It's long. It would last him his lifetime. And that's why he can write this. Therefore, he says, listen, therefore, because of what we believe, we also believe that anyone who's in Christ, you know what? As Christ as Lord and Savior is a new creation. So that means if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you ever prayed that prayer and you invited Jesus to come into your life and be my Lord and Savior, you know what he did? He came into your life and he said, forgive me of all my sins. You know what he did? He forgave you of all your sins. And then you know what he did? He gave you the Holy Spirit. Boom, just like that. Just like that. And Paul says, anyone, fat, tall, skinny, black, blue, doesn't matter. Anything about anyone. If Christ is their Savior, they're a new creation. They may look the same, they may smell the same, they may dress the same, they may talk the same, but they're a new creation in Christ Jesus because now the Spirit of God has come. The old is gone. We don't look at people with worldly eyes anymore. We're done with that nonsense because we know that there's a better way to see the world we live in now. There's a better way. There's a better way. We see it with godly eyes. We see friends with godly eyes. We see our neighbors with godly eyes. We watch the news. This is tough. With godly eyes. That's real hard. That's real hard. But we try. All this is from God. Why? Because he loves you. And he doesn't want you stuck back here in change. He wants you moving through transitions in your life as he walks with you. Because he wants to reconcile. Reconcile simply means to bring two relationships together. And in a strong theological definition, it'd be to bring two estranged people or relationships back together as one. And so Paul talks about reconciliation with God and all of that. God created the world, drops Adam and Eve into it, Garden of Paradise, remember that? Everything's rocking along pretty good. Talking snake shows up. They eat the fruit. Sin comes into their lives. Sin's a part of our lives. Sin separates us from God. And now God sends Jesus Christ to do what? Cover the sin that we can be reconciled back to God, just like we were supposed to be before the talking snake shows up. Okay? He does it through Christ, and he does it how? On the cross. For who? Just for you. Just for you. Verse 17 is the most popular verse of this run. 18 is the most important because of this one right here. He says, he reconciled the world to himself through Christ. And then look at that last little part. God gave us. Who? Us. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. He gave you a ministry, and it's reconciliation. You say, well, you know, I took that spiritual gift inventory a couple months ago, and there wasn't nothing on there about reconciliation. I'm not a reconciler. I don't even like people, not alone want to reconcile people. Oh, it doesn't count because the ministry of reconciliation is not on the spiritual gift form anywhere. It's a given. If you got Jesus, you've got the ministry of reconciliation. It's a given. It's just a gift. Because what do you think that Holy Spirit's going to do in your life? Help you reconcile. With who? Anybody God takes you to. Anybody God takes you to reconcile. So all of us have it. We're all ministers of reconciliation. And that's good. That's good. Because that's a part of who and what we are as Christians. And that's perfect. 19 just wraps the whole thing up. Says that God was reconciling the world to himself. He sees with godly eyes. Think about this. What if God saw you with worldly eyes? What if God saw you with worldly eyes? It'd be a whole different story, would it not? He sees you with godly eyes. And he's committed us to a ministry of reconciliation. It's part of who and what we are. We see each other and we see the world with godly eyes. So what's it all really mean? If he's your Lord and Savior, you've been blessed with the Spirit of God. We struggle daily to let the ugly stuff out and allow the new stuff to come in And that allows us the opportunity to fulfill our calling as Christian people. And it allows the ministry of reconciliation to be the foundation of our transformation. What? Transitioning. This is where they come together. We can't transition if we don't reconcile. Does that make sense? You and I can't love each other. You and I can't transition together from wherever it begins all the way to wherever it ends. We can't transition together if we can't love each other. If we can't reconcile with each other, if we can't bring relationships together with each other, then we will never completely and successfully be transitioned together, because we'll just be at odds all the time because we won't let the relationships form on a godly basis. We'll try to form those relationships on a human basis. And how's that work? It doesn't. It doesn't work at all. Why? Because we're filled with sin. I've got pride, and I got a lot of arrogance, and you may have a little bit too. And if we try to build those relationships on pride and arrogance, we all lose. We all lose. That's why it's good that every person in here has the ministry of reconciliation. All of us do. And it's that ministry of reconciliation that makes the transformation successful. As long as we don't do one thing, forget, and start seeing with worldly eyes again. Once we begin to see with worldly eyes again, you know what happens? Everything stops, and it begins to go the other way. And things begin to fall apart. Things begin to get real ugly, real quick, real fast. But you know what? God has given us a gift to keep us on track so that doesn't happen to us. And it's the gift of His Son's body and blood. When Jesus sat with the 12 in the upper room, He said to them, "Y'all might as well sit down, because we're going to talk about something." And they said, "Okay." He said, "You see this bread?" They said, "Yes." He said, "I want you to think about this bread as my body." Okay. He said, "My body is going to be broken. It's just going to be ripped to shreds. It's going to be busted and broken. Like this bread. For you. For you." They said, "Why?" "Because you guys are going to have the ministry of reconciliation. You're going to need this. You guys are going to transform the world because you're going to move through so many transitions that you can't do it alone. You've got to have me with you. And every time you do this, you'll be reminded that my body was broken, that you could be one. One with each other, one with the world, one with your Father through my broken body." He said to them, this bread is my body, broken for the forgiveness of your sins, that you can be reconciled to the Father. Take, eat. And as often as you do so, do it in remembrance that this is my body given for your oneness that allows you to reconcile and move through transitions. Father, we just ask you to allow this to be the body of Christ for us this day. When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks. He gave it to His disciples. He said, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it, for this is the cup of my blood, given just for you. And as often as you drink of this, do it in remembrance that this blood has paid the price of your sin, and this blood is the blood through which you reconcile. And this blood is the blood through which moves you through transitions successfully," which is imperative because it reveals the nature and the presence of God in your lives. Father, let this be for us the blood of Christ, given to us at a precious cost. Let it be so for us. We ask it in His holy name.